Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know, I really figured that all of the leeway we took with describing duck breeding in the neighborhood yards, we'd have got a text or two from somebody saying either, "Hey man, I spit beer out of my nose," or blue, or you know, the because church lady going,
I'm sure there's a lot of
I think, you know, you can tell the difference between college football season and unhosted outdoors and the rest of the year, because it's like, what's the score, man? Hey, what's the score? So, welcome to Upstate Outdoors, the second hour where we endeavor to persevere and tell you all about the outdoors, whether you want to hear it or not. We're going to be here. So, and part of that outdoors is when you come home with from a successful hunt. Mr. Springer, our our swerving and serving chef.
Telling you, I put some good stuff in that energy drink.
Tells you how to fix it. And that's why we have...
I put some good stuff in there. Oh, my goodness. Well... I've been being a little bit of a nurse, a little bit of a house cleaner, a little bit of a cook. Wife's recovering from some minor surgery, and she's doing great. She's a trooper. She's tough. She ain't no snowflake. Can't be married to me.
No.
So Springer was doing.
But imagine being sick and being married.
Yeah, well,
at the same
that
time.
could be bad. But anyway, so Springer's been doing a lot of them one dish wonders this week.
There you go.
And this one's Springer's deer dip. Okay, so here we go. All you need is about a pound of ground deer burger, thanks to PG. And that's the last one I had too, dog. That's it.
You're out.
We're out. Anyway, one can of Rotel, and I do this one a little different than maybe so. I put a can of sweet corn in it as well, and drained, of course, and two cans of stewed or diced tomatoes, drain that as well, and a 1 pound block of Velveeta cheese. Place the canned items in a pan over medium low heat, mix them all up together, stir up, and then you cut the cheese into smaller pieces.
Did you say cut the cheese?
Yeah, cut the cheese. But anyway, the smaller pieces the better, because it will melt and mix a whole lot easier, and stir into the tomato mixture. All right, continue warming, stirring occasionally while the cheese melts. Now, while the tomatoes and cheese heat and blend, cook the deer in a skillet. Simple deal. Drain if necessary, but with yours, there's no draining needed.
No, I don't put any fat in it.
Oh, it's awesome, man.
Or I have it done with no fat in it.
Right, it's killer. And when the meat is cooked, you stir in the cheese and the tomato mixture, and just kind of get it all mixed in there together. And then I let it simmer for about 15 minutes so all those flavors with the corn, the tomatoes, and the Rotel, and the venison burger just all come together. And then I get me a big old bag of tortilla chips or whatever you like. And that's the way I do. Got the bowl here and dipping and eating. And there you have it.
Let me see.
Yeah, you can take that home with you.
Let me see it up here. Let me see with Rotel, corn. Okay. So
the only thing different pretty much is the corn. Most people, Money Penny says she uses corn in her cheese dip from time to time.
Yeah.
Sweet corn.
Yeah. If you do that fire roasted corn.
That's even better.
That gives it a little bit of spice to it. That's kind of funny because we did actually Boat Girl has a recipe for soup.
Yes.
It winds up being two completely different things.
Right.
Where you ground, you know, the venison.
Yes.
Put it in the crock pot, and instead of cheese, obviously use beef broth.
Right.
And put in just about any vegetable you want.
Right.
Now, personally, I don't like potatoes in soup. And wow. I know that's weird and everything. And you're like, what? I don't like potatoes in soup.
Okay.
I mean, I like potatoes. I like mashed potatoes. Right. I like baked potatoes.
Right.
I like french fries.
Just don't want them in your soup.
I just don't want them in my soup.
Makes sense to me.
Because to me, a lot of places where you buy soup,
yeah,
they use potatoes as a filler.
Yes, they do.
And also, if you let those potatoes go long, they're going to turn into mush.
Yes, they are.
And I don't like mush.
I hear you.
So I will use corn. I'll use white beans. I'll use lima beans.
Yeah, man.
I'll use black-eyed peas.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll use all of them.
But ain't using no taters.
But I ain't using no potatoes. And but put that in there and make soup. And although it's been hot, because usually you think of soup being,
yeah,
you know, being a cold weather
right
thing. But, you know,
chili as well.
Yeah. We hadn't made any chili yet.
Me either.
We hadn't made. We did make lasagna 1 week.
Yeah.
I mean, shoo. We have eaten venison probably 3-4 times a week for,
it's good for
the
you
last year. Yes.
You got high, you got quality cuts and
high in iron.
And it's good.
Yeah. So
I mean, I get through brown and the stuff that you give me.
Yeah.
There's no grease at
yeah
all.
Yeah, and we've been I say this low, but we've been doing a lot of cube steak lately.
Right.
And usually I cook it on the grill, you know, because
right
it's hot. But Boat Girl's discovered her southern roots, rediscovered her southern roots.
Yeah.
And she's taking to frying it with gravy and making
gravy.
Oh, my gravy
God.
I'm like, what? Where did you come from?
Done dusted
ain't
off.
Ain't nothing like marrying a woman and then finding out, you know, I can't cook. I work on a boat, but I can't cook.
That's double winner.
And then finding out she can't cook.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
So
I tell you something else I seen the other day, yesterday. I seen, you know, the gravy.
Yeah.
That you have on the steak biscuits,
yeah,
okay, at Bojangles or wherever. Dude, or Hardee's, and I seen a gravy fountain.
A gravy fountain.
It was on TV or something. It's for gravy. That gravy just getting her done.
I can't hardly see from here, but what's that say?
Cookbook. Let's go to the phones.
All right.
Hey, welcome to Upstate Outdoors. What's up?
Hey.
Hey. Yeah.
Hey, only you can think of a gravy fountain.
That's a true story.
I got one statement and one question.
Yes, sir.
You know y'all contributing to the starvation of the entire world, because every time I listen to y'all at the end, I'm hungry.
Well, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, have y'all ever gotten together and thought about writing a cookbook?
I have, and I just don't know the way to go about it, Ed, but it has crossed my minds, and I probably got already on our Facebook page and everything else, I would say 2 years worth of recipes.
Yeah, and the bad thing about that, especially anything that's kind of printed like that, is you can make a small fortune doing a book, but you got to start with a large fortune.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the way that kind of stuff goes. Is time you put a bunch of money into. I know from my publishing background that we would rather just give it away on our Facebook page and feed it one
right
at a time.
But for us old timers who like to take the recipes out to a cabin that doesn't have any electricity,
I got you.
Kind of between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
Well, Ed, I tell you, man, it has crossed my mind, and it makes me feel like I'm doing something right when I get compliments like that. And we appreciate you being there, bud. We appreciate it.
I enjoy y'all. You're laugh. You're informative. You're a complete
idiot.
I haven't figured out what you're complete now, Springer, but I listen to it.
Well, thank you, man.
All right, love you, Ed.
Gentry, keep him as close to balance as possible, but don't let him completely off the chain.
There you go.
No, I won't do
that's
that, Ed.
That's the plan. Okay.
God bless, bro.
Hey, y'all keep it up.
Yes,
God
sir.
God bless you guys.
Love phone calls like that.
Oh, yeah.
See, man, they're out there.
Springer's
our
cookbook.
Our people are
Springer's
out there.
Cookbook.
Yeah, but like you said, and you're so spot on, because when I looked into it, I'm looking at what kind of money it's going to take to publish it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
most of the
I'm
publishing.
Like, I'm like, what the hell?
It's really like everything else. that publishing is it's kind of a dying art. I mean, right. you know, the magazines are shrinking, mm-hmm. books are shrinking,
newspapers are gone.
Everything's online. So you could go do a website. If it hadn't already been taken, you could do a website of our YouTube page,
right?
And of Springer's recipes,
right?
But there again, just like he was talking about, yeah. I want some of my.
He's out at the camp with no electricity.
It's printed, so yeah, wow. Kind of short. But good
appreciate
idea.
Appreciate that, Ed. Appreciate
good,
it.
Good idea. Let's go to a break. Then when we come back, we're going to ring up our buddy Marty Robinson and talk about his literally life-changing decision he made in what's in store for Major League Fishing and the Bass Pro Tour.
Right on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Going to talk to Party Marty Robinson right after these messages.
Well, Upstate Outdoors has been on your radio today for an hour and 20 minutes, but it's time to get the party started because Party Marty is here. We got him on the air with us. Marty Robinson, welcome back to Upstate Outdoors.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing today, man?
Oh, man, been waiting to talk to you, Marty. Seems like
you got to wait in line these days.
I don't know about that. You may have to wait in behind my wife or something. But
yeah.
Well, like I said, you got to wait in line.
I mean, the last time I got to even say something to you was that you was doing a live deal on MLF with that good-looking blonde, and I sent you something in on the
Don't get him in trouble.
No, man, that's that old gal at FLW, and I sent it and said, and I asked you the question, who's a better guitar player, you or Casey? You remember that?
Yeah.
We're trying to get hit.
I might have lied and said myself, but we all know that ain't true. So.
Well, Marty, I'm going to tell you what. The last 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe, have been historical for professional bass fishing. And you were right there in the middle of that with MLF announcing that they had a pro bass tour and looking for folks to make a decision, and you made what I would guess would be probably one of the biggest decisions of your professional career.
Philip, it was probably the biggest decision I've ever made in my bass fishing career, and I'm sure it was in a lot of guys' eyes, but I think it was. You know, the bass fishing world has obviously been shook up in the last few weeks. And, I think it's overall for the good for everybody,
Well, let me ask you this, because I've been reading a lot, and it seems like, and I understand if there's stuff that you really can't say on the radio,
right,
because of allegiances here and there. But what I'm seeing, especially from a lot of the pro anglers, is that you guys have had it tougher than a lot of folks really realized by virtue of, entry fees and just really trying to make a living bass fishing. And, when these guys came out with the Bass Pro Tour, they did away with a lot of those obstacles.
Yeah, when Boyd Duckett and Gary Klein kind of got this idea in their head, the whole mindset was to create a platform or create a tour where anglers could fish, and all professional anglers could make a good living. Pretty much kind of what they're going on is they're kind of envisioning how golf is and some of these other major sports, which, fishing don't have nowhere near the money that golf has into it. But, that's the kind of idea they had in the head when they came up with this idea. And, I don't know how much the last place guy on the PGA Tour makes. I've heard it's around maybe $300,000 or $400,000, and that'd be great if the last place professional angler could make enough to make a good living. No, obviously not $300,000 to $400,000 like a golfer, but just could make a comfortable living. And, just where we wouldn't have to be out here plumbing on our spare time.
I don't, but I do. Yeah.
But that was the whole mindset of this, and obviously the only way to achieve that is through television and airtime, to take on the bigger sponsors and get more money in it, into it, and to get more people across the world into fishing. That's the biggest thing. That's the ultimate goal here, is to get people that don't know the first thing about bass fishing to flick through the Discovery Channel and see Major League Fishing and get interested in it and go, man, this show's awesome. This is a pretty fun show. I enjoy watching it. And, you know, I was telling a buddy of mine, I said, you know, if you think about it, I said, I don't know the first thing about commercial fishing, and I don't know the first thing about tuna fishing. But when I'm flicking through the Discovery Channel and I see Wicked Tuna or,
Deadliest Catch?
Deadliest Catch. I said, dude, I don't know a thing about it, but I really enjoy watching those two shows. And, you know, it's entertaining.
Yes, sir.
And that's what we're hoping to bring to the bass fishing market, you know, is a show, you know, similar to that. It's entertaining, informative, and to bring more people into the sport of bass fishing.
Well, in looking at the schedule for the Bass Pro Tour, I think a lot of the fear out there is, you know, yeah, we're going to have a lot of television coverage on that, but there's a certain segment of the fans who really, you know, like to get involved, you know, go to the particular – they look forward to you guys coming to their home lake and seeing how you fish it. Will they still be able to get that out of the Bass Pro Tour?
They will. You know, that was another – you know, that was another situation that was really high as far as priority on their whole idea of this is keeping, you know, obviously catering to the fans, the bass fishing fans of the world, because that's the ones that's really kept us around as long as we've been. And so we didn't want to do anything to affect that. But on the other hand, you know, Major League Fishing is huge in the fish conservation. And obviously, the best thing for the fish is to release them as soon as you catch them,
yep.
you know, to have the best survival rates as possible. And so they kind of, you know, they want to stick to their guns on conservation, you know, catch and release as soon as possible. But they really want to have a platform or a location or something where the fans could come and meet the fishermen. And just like you would at the weigh-in, except, you know, obviously there won't be any fish weighed at the weigh-in, but they still will be a meet and greet where the bass fishing fans can come out, hang out with the anglers, meet everybody. And it'll probably be, you know, if I had to guess, you know, obviously it's still in the final works, but I would guess it'd be a bigger opportunity for the bass fishing fans to kind of mingle with the fishermen, you know, rather than just watching them weigh bass.
I tell you, Marty, ever since Major League Fishing has been on TV, it is by far my favorite program, fishing program to watch. I mean, and a lot of people are saying, well, you know, they're catching dinks. Look, man, if I'm catching fish as fast as I can catch, I don't care if they 14 inches long or 24 inches long. That's exciting. You know what I mean, Marty? It's just fishing, catch them and go as fast and as hard as you can.
It's more like real fishing.
It's more like what
it's
I would be
like
doing.
It's more like the average
exactly.
guy's real fishing, you know, if he was dreaming in, you know, versus being out there
but
for about 6 hours.
It's by far way more entertaining for me as far as watching y'all when y'all are, let's say, just fishing the classic, okay? To be honest with you, it's just, to me, it's more entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, a lot of people are like that, but, and we have a lot of bass fishing fans that's kind of worried about that. You know, they're calling it, they were talking about it could be a dink fest tournament and this, that, and the other, but what the fans, or what some of the guys really not need to kind of look at or realize is, our regular season events, which would be 8 events, and then our Red Crest tournament at the end of the year, which will be, you know, similar to the Bassmaster Classic. And all these 8 events, we will have a schedule of lakes so we know where we're going. And then when we get there, we'll have 2 days of practice. And, you know, these guys, when you put them out on the water 2 days, they can figure out a lot and find out a lot of, you know, about a body of water. And, you know, then you're going to have these guys going out catching a lot bigger fish. It's not necessarily going to be a dink fest because, you know, sometimes in Major League Fishing, depending on what venues we go to, we may get to a lake and it could be tough fishing. And we don't know where we're going. We just show up. They throw us out there. Half time, we've never been on the lake before. We don't have any idea what the fish are doing. So we pretty much got to catch anything that bites as quick as we can or you're going to get behind. So few of the tournaments have turned out to be, you know, a lot of smaller fish caught. But really, if you look back at it, most of the time, the guy that catches, figures out how to catch the bigger fish, winds up winning the round.
Yeah.
Yep.
And two, with 2 days of practice, you know, the fans need to think about the 2 days of practice. That's really going to help these anglers key in on catching bigger and better quality fish, I think.
And the thing that you look at, too, from a fan's perspective, and, you know, it's just like you mentioned golf. Yeah, some people watch golf and they don't golf, but I would venture to say a lot of people who watch golf play golf too, and you know, maybe you don't learn as much there from watching that or whatever. I'm not a golfer. But if I'm a bass fisherman and I'm watching you guys struggle, because what I've seen of MLF, they do a great job of, especially like you said, we've never been there, we don't know how to figure it out. Watching how you break down a lake, figuring it out, is going to make me a better bass fisherman.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I hear a lot from the guys that watch some of the shows, and if we do have a tough event, these guys say, man, you know, what I've learned watching you guys at a tough lake is that the pros actually have a tough day too, which is true. You know, these guys think that a lot of times we just show up on the lake and go to catching, you know, 4 and 5 pounders everywhere, but obviously we're going to have tough days too. And that's the way it is, you know, in some of the events. And the number one question that I've been asked by a fan more than anything else is, man, I want to know one thing. I want to know how do you guys show up on a new lake, approach it, dissect it, break it down, and go out and just figure out fishing. I don't really care how you catch them. I want to see how you figure it out. Cause In my mind, that's what everybody wants to know, and that's what everybody needs to know. And that's been the biggest deal on the MLF Cup events and the Selects events thus far, you know, is seeing how these guys go out, approach a lake, how it kind of breaks down into them throughout the day, how they kind of get on a better bite as the day progresses. And we will actually still have 4 events throughout the year that'll be MLF format, style format, where you just show up and fish. So, you know, the fishing fans are getting to see, you know, the regular type MLF tournaments where you just get to a lake, don't know anything, you break it down, dissect it, whatever you have to do to catch fish, and then you'll have our regular 8 tournament events throughout the year that is just like a standard Elite Series or FLW tournament trail.
Well, Marty, changing the subject just a little bit slightly, do you ever get pushback from some of the other pros about the unfair advantage that you have over the rest of them? I mean, after all, you are married to the local high school fishing coach, and you got 2 kids in there that are like just local phenomenons. I mean, do they ever look at you and go, man, that ain't fair. You just got more support than one man should have.
Yeah, that's right. You know, they accuse me of getting tips from my wife and getting information from my wife. And, you know, I said, you know, guys, I do get information from her, but most of the time it's not fishing information.
I'm sure.
It's unwanted information.
Hey, cut your toenails. You're going to be on TV. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, she does coach the Burns High Rebel. She is the fishing coach, and I guess I'm just a helper or something.
Well, I tell you, you look mighty sporty with that Rebels T-shirt on and them Rebel jerseys, babies. R-E-B-E-L-S, Rebels, 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 go.
She's kind of got the big head, you know. They've had a little you know, they won an event. They won an overall event last year. You know, Marty Walker with a PBC trail. He puts on the high school series. And,
right.
Great for these kids around here. It's a huge trail, and they have a big turnout. And you know, every local high school in the area just about is represented. And you know, she's had a little bit of success on that. The team won overall school champion last year in one of the tournaments, and then the first tournament this season on Murray last weekend, the Rebels took home first place.
Yes, so, they did.
You know, she's going to be wanting to get on the show before long, just to give you guys.
She's had an open invitation. We just can't get the money right.
And you're going to bring the guitar, and she's going to also sing in the studio.
Yeah, that's really going to get her on there, Springer. We can't afford that. But, hey, Marty, before we let you go, this is maybe a tongue-in-cheek, but really a serious question. Do you foresee at some point in the future being like, and there's been a few bass pros like this, being in an event, maybe in your later years, where your son, you and your son, are up against each other in a competition?
Yeah, I do foresee that. Actually, one of my oldest boy, Marshall, he's dying to get out on the tournament trail. And, you know, next year he'll turn 16 and he'll be able to fish the stair-stepping tours, the FLW or the BFL tours. He's really ready to fish that, wants to fish them bad. So, you know, if I'm going to take him to some of those tournaments, I may fish him while I'm, you know, fish a couple of them if my schedule allows. And but he's dying to, and his dream is to maybe start fishing the Bassmaster Opens one of these days, you know, kind of like a lower league, and maybe work his way up into to wherever he wants to go. So, yeah, I definitely foresee us fishing against each other. And you know, the little slicker's kind of – I think he's luckier than I am. So he may be putting it on me before long.
There you go. Well, I'd rather be lucky than good. Marty, we really appreciate you being on the show with
us. Absolutely,
man. And anytime you, the boys, Iris, want to come and hang out in the studio and teach the rest of our listeners about bass fishing, y'all just come on.
All right, buddy. Hey, it's been great talking to you guys, and looking forward to this year on the MLF. And, you know, we'll be on the Discovery Channel, and all of it will be live stream on MLF website. So all you fishing fans and all you non-fishing fans can check it out and see what all the hype is about.
All right, Marty. We appreciate it. Go Rebels.
Well, let's go to our break, and then when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show with a calendar of events and your parting shot.
Right here, Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, where Philip Gentry and Tommy Springer party with Marty Robinson. Be right back.
And you never want to be lost in the weeds and hear the snorting wheeze.
No, it's not good.
Right?
Run, Forrest, run.
I don't know who does our promos and stuff, but they got weed on the brain,
I think. Well, you know.
Spring, you had nothing to do with it, did you?
No.
All right, well, as our illustrious producer reminded me, I'm ahead of myself, which I've always said. And
that ain't exactly what she said, but we'll go with that.
What was it you called me again? No, never mind. If she said it, she'd have to delete it. Don't dump yourself.
A butthead.
Thank you very much. So we're talking.
I must be Beavis.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to talk about some temporary hunting closures here. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
What is this? Upstate Pulse?
Yeah.
Come on now. Let's have some seriousness about it.
Can you slap me real quick, Philip?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm ready now.
Going to the DNR website, not to make light of anything, but we make light of everything. The temporary hunting closures expired on October the 4th. That was 2 days ago, which was what? Thursday?
Yes.
Thursday. And they had placed a temporary hunting season closure for portions of the PD and Waccamaw River drainages following their widespread and catastrophic flooding following Hurricane Florence. And that expired at 11:59 p.m. on Thursday. South Carolina DNR will not extend this enclosure beyond October 4th. Hunting may resume in these areas beginning on Friday. Keep in mind that some wildlife management areas still have public access closures or more likely vehicular access restrictions. In other words, they're opening up everything they can,
right. But
you might not be able to drive a vehicle on it basically because the roads are either still flooded
or gone
or, you know, whatever. So for our folks that go down there and hunt along the coast, good news, bad news kind of thing. Let's see. Also, the boating safety zone along the South Carolina coast has been modified. On Wednesday, the Coast Guard, United States Coast Guard and the DNR announced an update to a previously issued emergency safety zone. Basically, what they did was they didn't allow people boating traffic along portions of the Waccamaw, Black, and Petey River systems, and the Atlantic Intercoastal Waterway, because when you already got water this up, right there at, you know,
at, to the window.
At window level, and you got a bunch of boats going through and they're running, you know, 2 more feet, then you got that much more damage. The U.S. Coast Guard Marine Safety Information Bulletin adjusts the area where permission is required for boat travel to include all waters of the Waccamaw River along the Atlantic Intercoastal Waterway from Sandy Island north to the Socastee Swing Bridge. Coast Guard and DNR officials have determined that high water conditions have improved enough along the previously restricted waterways outside of those areas that regular boat traffic can resume. And, of course, they're talking about Winyah Bay, Sandpit River, the intercoastal waterway south of Sandy Island and north of the Swing Bridge, the Great Petey River and the Black River. So, basically, in those areas, they still – you got to get permission to go in there, but for the most part, the rest of that area is open. And, you know, the big thing that our buddy Captain E was talking about and concerned about was, well, we can keep keeping the boats off of this area
right
now. And I was looking at his Facebook page in the Southern Anglers Radio Program page. They got a bunch of fish kills going on up there.
I know.
And they really don't want people bass fishing up there. But it's not just bass. I mean, it's the catfish and the other thing that was of great concern was that a lot of those fish had been pushed out,
right,
you know, when the river came up and then the river drew back. And they're in areas that aren't supposed to be holding water.
Sure.
You know, they're swampy. But now they're stranded,
right,
and that water is going to recede,
and they're going to die,
and those fish are going to die, and there ain't really a whole lot you can do with them, no, except for you just lost those fish.
Right.
So that's a lot of what he was showing up on. And
can you imagine the crows and whatnot, the free for all, and that they're going to have down there,
well,
with all the fish carcasses?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that is, you know, that's nature.
Yeah, true.
I mean,
I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying.
Yeah. If you're a buzzard, it's both deer season and fish kill.
You're going to have some heavyweights.
Buzzard down there ain't even going to be able to fly. They're
exactly
going to be like, I'm taking the bus.
I'm just walking.
Yeah, I'm just walking, man. I can't even fly no more. I got
exactly
too much to eat. But
so, yes, that is, man.
Yep. Well, let's go to our break, and then we can come back and do our calendar of events and in our parting shot, and that puts me back on schedule, and I won't be a butthead anymore, at least not in that respect.
Right here, Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. The two goobers will be back on the flip side.
It's calendar of events time here on Upstate Outdoors. Springer, what you got?
It's short and sweet. All right, got a fall fundraiser tournament for the Clemson Bass Fishing Team coming up on Lake Hartwell Saturday, October the 13th, Green Pond Landing. $1,000 first place guaranteed. Tournament fee, big fish included, $110. Safe flight to 3 p.m. or by flights. Waiver must be signed on the morning of the tournament prior to the blast-off. And for more information or to register, contact Jonathan Jones at 864-642-5370 or contact him at jbj5@g.clemson.edu. Coming up on the 25th of October this month, we've got a Hunting Heritage Banquet. The Piedmont Chapter, South Carolina, at the South Carolina National Guard Armory in Union, South Carolina, at 165 Industrial Park Road. And for more information on that, you can contact Steve Cobb at 864-427-0653. And that's it.
Oh, wow. So you really did have a short calendar, Vince.
All right,
we'll slip out there because we have been.
It's my fault.
Well,
I mean, I didn't do the whatever I was supposed to do to make the text come up on the thing.
Yeah. And you zig when you got a zag.
Okay.
Stay out that way.
Well, I was trying to zig.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what we're talking about is our text line here, and you folks are like, what's the point in even texting
y'all?
It's Springer's fault. Ain't even going to say nothing about it. But
exactly,
we got a whole bunch of texts that we'll get to now. And the first one is, how do I get rid of nut sedge? You know, my advice is don't scratch it and maybe look into some of that Blue Star ointment. But the one that I think really pertains to us, texter writes, I went to Cabela's looking for larger – well, we shouldn't say I went to Cabela's. I went to a big box store looking for larger fly fishing flies, and they have none. I went to an Upstate Outdoors advertiser, Riverblade Knife and Fly, and he has plenty. And that's great. Brandon does a great job. Make sure that you, this is me talking, not the texter. Make sure you tell him you heard it on Upstate Outdoors.
Right.
Another texter, right. We hunt every December on Pecan Island near Abbeville, Louisiana. The ducks are like gnats every year. They dang near black out the sun. And gnat-sized ducks are hard to hit, too. And then we got another texter says, since you were lamenting the possibility that no one was actually listening, I'm listening. I'm listening at Florida State University. Season isn't going so well, so I don't hunt. I hate fishing, but you guys crack me up, so I listen. There you go.
That's awesome.
And the next one says, admit it, Tommy, you can't write a cookbook because you don't know your letters.
That would be true.
Well, but
I could get somebody to do it for me.
That's never stopped. Yeah.
That's why I got PG for it.
No, everybody knows if you write a cookbook, your wife's going to be the one typing it. And we got another texter says, we're listening. I want to do a lot of stuff in the outdoors, but it seems like I have to go by myself because schedules don't work out or the people you know
can't go with you.
Can't go with you. And yeah, universal these days. Everybody stays so busy. And, let's see. So, the next texter says you could publish that book yourself for around $50 on Amazon Books. The only problem is,
wow.
Well, and there you go on Amazon Books. That's part of that delivery on demand kind of stuff. Look into that, or get your wife to look into
that. Yeah, that would be what I would.
And in our final texter, are there any rivers in South Carolina that tarpon run up that you can fly fish for them?
I don't know.
We don't have the tarpon run up our rivers like you would see in Florida where they really go deep. Most of the folks, you can fly fish for tarpon, but you're going to pretty much stay out there around, you know, the inlets and stuff. I think they will come into the inlet somewhat, but looking at, you know, way up in a river like they do, they'll go almost into fresh water.
I know it, in Florida.
In Florida. But not something that they do here. But, yeah, and I had a buddy of mine. They said the tarpon was pretty good, and he was seeing them rolling.
Right.
That's the problem here. Our water is not clear, so you don't really see them rolling, so you can fly fish.
And we appreciate each and every one of your texts. And I just done something wrong with this message stream thing. You know, it was me.
Yeah.
But
nuts edge is a very big concern for a lot of folks, which takes us to –
don't scratch that stuff.
Yeah.
Woo.
Get you some salve for that nuts edge. You'll be fine. Well, the stadium lit up Friday night in Coopville, Washington, as a Coopville High School player returned to kick for a touchdown. But it wasn't just the touchdown return that had the crowd going wild. A deer ran onto the Whidbey Island field just as Sean Toomey Stout recovered a kick. As Toomey Stout runs down the field, so does the deer, delighting fans who caught the epic play on video. The video, which they posted here, this is from Q13Fox.com, local radio station, or local TV station. The video was taken by Ren McAllister, whose son kicked the football that was returned for the touchdown. Toomey Stout's mother, Beth, joked that the deer was blocking for her son, but it's worth noting that the deer only got 95 yards, while Toomey Stout has racked up more than 1,000 yards in 5 games. Ain't nothing like having mom being your PR,
hey,
right?
Hey, cuz, that's the best ones there are.
Yeah. The game was between the Coopville, whatever they are,
yeah,
and Kings High School. It was a 1A football match. Just one of them little bitty high schools.
Yes, sir.
When it's single A.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the whole town comes out. That's what
I
like.
The whole town shut down.
And, of course, same thing happens at Burns, too. But Beth Stout said Coopville is a really small team, and the Deer's appearance really helped to hype up the stadium on Friday night. And I was reading another – there's about 15 versions of this on the internet if you look for Deer scores touchdown
right,
or whatever.
Right.
And somebody's like, yeah, you know, these deer, this island that they're on, there's deer all over it. And, you know,
that's
it's not unusual to have a –
that's still pretty cool.
Yeah, run out on the field. Somebody's like, hey, shoot that deer. We'll all have a big barbecue. There ain't but 200 people here.
Well, obviously, they wasn't no springers there.
Yeah.
So.
We could try. Hey, when he got into the end zone,
right.
the deer left some deer beans behind. We could make some deer bean dip.
You're so crazy, Philip.
And Springer said,
but you're fun to work with. I tell you that.
Yeah, we could get that. So
it's about all that. Have you ever had anything? Well, you didn't play a whole lot of football in high school.
I didn't play football in high school at all.
I was playing on one time in a little bitty place, and we had some cows get on the field.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? Did you run around behind them and, like, use them? I'm wondering if I'm sure they probably called that touchdown back.
I'm just saying,
or would
man.
It be like? Would it be like golf?
Where, I don't know.
You know, hey, look, man, you just play it the way it lies.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you hit a golf ball in golf and it hits a bird in flight, I think you can take a.
It wasn't a high school game. It was junior high.
Yeah.
One of those kind of not really a large stadium field, you know, kind of the leftovers we get to play on like during the week. A couple cows got out. Farmer came over, herded them up, took them off the field.
All right. Hey, we want to thank our guest today, Ron Cox from Cox Gunsmith, and, of course, Party Marty. The one-man party, Marty Robinson, for being on the show. Springer, that's in. Take us home, brother.
God bless. Thanks for y'all being here each and every week. We do appreciate it, and we appreciate it with all our heart. God bless. Talk to you next week. Get you some. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.